One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila, and this is Love University, and we're back. Here's where we learn how to love ourselves, others, and higher nature. I'm an author, speaker, and psychologist, and every week we bring you a very interesting topic, how to improve your life internally and externally, whether it's your relationships, your health, your career, and also your higher practice in life. We've been having some great guests, but today we're going to talk about something that's really interesting to me. I think it'll be very fascinating to you too, something that can help your life in a great way. And the topic is karma, attracting the results you desire. When we think of the word karma, we think of Eastern philosophy and getting back what you give. But karma, if you think about it, is cause and effect. You put a cause out in the world, you do an action, and that cause later comes back with an effect, a result. If it's bad karma, something negative, you get angry at someone, they might get angry back, they might even punch you in the nose. Or if you give good karma, you help someone who's homeless, you listen to a friend who's hurting, you are kind and compassionate to others, then chances are you're going to receive something back, either for that person or maybe in general in the future. That's the idea. And even more than that, in the Eastern philosophy approach, all causes are recorded in your psychological bank, which is the sum total of your thoughts, feelings, actions, and experiences. If you do a good cause, for example, you help people, you're going to earn interest. And at some point later in the future, you're going to need some help and someone's going to help you, or you're going to have favorable circumstances, maybe your finances, your business, your career, or your friendships and relationships. On the other hand, if you have a bad cause, if you do bad actions, you hurt people, you're selfish, you take advantage of others, chances are you're going to pay interest like a debt. And at some point, the debt is going to be due and you're going to suffer some bad consequences, maybe getting your finances, maybe in relationships, maybe even the way you feel about yourself and your self-esteem. Now, this is a very interesting idea and a lot of people like it. It's intuitive. But you might ask, well, how about when it doesn't work? How about when good people who do a lot for others and give it to others suffer and other people either don't appreciate it or take advantage of it, misuse their gifts? On the other hand, we see bad people, people who are selfish or cruel even, succeed in business or appear to succeed in life for a period of time. And that may be true, but the idea of karma is that karma is an entity that needs to mature and needs to ripen before it occurs. So it may be a while, maybe a month, a year, or even years before the karma does mature, and that good person may receive the great blessings or benefits, and the bad person may receive their comeuppance, you know, their retribution. Maybe something bad happens to them in a negative sense from other people because of what they did in the past. Now, the great American philosopher and writer Emerson talked about the law of compensation, which is a similar concept. He said that each person is compensated in the manner to which they have contributed. So again, you reap what you sow. If you plant good seeds in the earth in terms of being kind, compassionate, caring, and giving, you're going to receive that back in some kind of beautiful flower of success and appreciation and also well-being. If you plant bad seeds in places where there are weeds or rocky ground, then you probably will also reap those negative benefits and bad relationships, bad circumstances in life. And the idea that people like this idea of karma, it's very intuitively appealing because we like to think that doing good brings good, and especially what we call the law of reciprocity, that if you do good to others, they will do good back. And these are something that kind of helps us feel better in life because we feel inoculated from the negative things in life. We feel protected because we realize if we can do good things, we're going to build up a reservoir of goodness that will eventually come back to us in a good way. And they actually did some studies on this. They found that in a college call center where they're asking for money for scholarships, the callers raised 171% more money when they were told how their work was positively affecting students, how was it helping other students get money for scholarships. So realizing that their work did good in society made them more motivated and increased their ability to generate more funds. Doctors and nurses in hospitals use 45% more hand sanitizer when there's a sign that says hand hygiene prevents disease. So again, realizing the benefits of taking a good action, washing their hands and helping other people increases the likelihood that they will do that. They will remind themselves as well. So people like that idea that, you know, their good has positive influence on others. Now let's talk a little bit about how karma can affect you in a positive way. What are the personal benefits of creating good karma or good energy in the world? First of all, you have peace of mind. When you're kind to other people, compassionate, empathetic, when you do good things to help others, you feel more relaxed, more peaceful. You feel that your life is useful, meaningful. As a result, you sleep better at night. You have a more of a positive outlook on life. Also, having good karma in personal life can help you in relationships. You build better connections. You have more emotional stability with the people you deal with. Now, interesting research has shown that there's something called the 3 degrees of influence, where your first degree is your friends, your close friends. Second degree is friends of friends. And third degree is friends of friends of friends. The interesting thing about this is that research shows that your social network can have a big influence on your happiness level, as your happiness level can affect the people around you as well. They did some studies and they found that a happy friend can increase your happiness by 15%. An unhappy friend, and this is at the first level, can decrease your happiness by 7%. Interestingly enough, it's not just your friends, but it's the friends of friends that can also influence you. So at the second level, second degree, friends of friends, their happiness can increase your happiness by 10%. If you go third level out, friends of friends of friends, their happiness can increase your happiness by 6%. And you think, well, 6%, I mean, I don't know if that's very much. But they did another study and they said, well, I'll give you $10,000. And people that receive the $10,000 on the average increase your happiness by only 2%. So you see that having happy friends in a network can actually improve your happiness even more than receiving money. And if you have a happy friend, in the next 6 months, you have a 45% chance of being happier. So in psychology, we call this mood contagion, that moods can be contagious. You can be infected by people's positivity, their good emotions, or by their negativity. You can be infected by unhappiness. So it's very important that you learn how to, first of all, choose your friends and cultivate happiness within your group of friends, because it can affect you. When you're feeling lonely or when you're feeling tired, a friend can pick you up and bring you contentment and bring you some good ideas and advice and help you feel better about things if they are internally happy themselves. If they're unhappy, chances are they're going to complain and criticize and grumble. And that may affect your emotional mood as well, because you capture their negativity, even if you don't realize it. Many times when people say, or even their body stance, their nonverbals can affect you emotionally if they have kind of a grumpy looking face, as opposed to having a happy face. The other thing that good karma can do for you is it can even help save lives. There's a father who was able to diagnose his daughters, 3-year-old daughters, leukemia at a very early stage that helped save her life, because he had volunteered as a medical resident in a leukemia cancer research center, even though he didn't become a doctor after that. But just the fact that he volunteered, he had learned some valuable diagnosis skills and was able to help save his daughter's life as a result. So even though that wasn't the intent initially, that ended up being the result. So the good karma was able to help him in this matter to diagnose his daughter. Now, even in business, research has shown that business scenarios, where it's corporations, companies, can also benefit from good karma among its employees and its officials. For example, good karma can improve motivation, productivity, and profit in companies. Now, the first thing to realize is that there are different kinds of people in the good karma setting. There are people that are givers, they like to give and help and aid others. There are people who are takers, they pretty much take that. And there are matchers, people who both give and take. Now, givers can be very well rewarded by their positive and compassionate and giving nature, but sometimes they can also damage themselves if they give too much at the cost of their own success and advancement. They're always worried about other people and they don't take care of themselves. Takers, on the other hand, may be very selfish and self-centered, and they also can make enemies and people may not want to be around them in the work setting. So the key for the giver is to, first of all, have a balanced sense, maybe even be more of a matcher, where they give to others, they help other people, but at the same time, they understand who they're giving to and why, and they look for a corresponding return. So if they're helping someone with their work task at all times, the other person's not really helping back, or the other person doesn't appreciate or even takes advantage of them, they will redirect their focus to someone else. They won't be considering that they want to help, keep helping that person. They will find someone else that they can help that will give corresponding benefits. Now, in business, it's very important, whether you own a business or work in a company, to first of all screen out the takers. So if you have a hiring process, to find the people who are self-centered, who want to take credit for everything. So you want to keep those out of the corporate scenario, because even one of them can infect other people. One person who's selfish, egotistical, can actually turn the other people a little bit that way as well. Also, it's important to reward the givers. For example, have a contest for the most giving and caring person in the company. Many times, people who are rewarded are those who are individually excellent, who have great results individually. But people who are also team players should also be rewarded, because they can improve other people's performance. They can help others get better. Another interesting piece of advice is kind of counterintuitive in the business world, is to encourage people to seek help or help-seeking behavior. Because for a person to be a good giver, you need to have a good receiver of the help. People that actually appreciate and can apply it in their own personal or business lives. And the thing is to encourage people to seek out help. For example, they can ask, you know, where do I need help? Because sometimes that's seen as a weakness in the corporate world. But in this sense, we want to encourage it to be a positive thing, that you're looking for a positive help and the helper can help you in that sense. So there's a balance. So a good giver has to have a good receiver to be able to have a harmonious interaction in the business world. They appreciate each other and they work together. And also, it's important to train people to be givers. So let's say you're helping other people and you're overwhelmed by all the work you have to do, but you can train individuals to be mentors to others, to be givers. And that's a great way to pass along your positive energy and karma to others as well. Now, the two things we need to think about, if you want to apply this in your daily life, the idea of this karma or cause and effect, aside from any religious or spiritual connotations, just think of it as a psychological tool. The first thing to think about is, how do I decrease my negative karma? Negative energy is built up. First of all, identify areas in your life that are not working or haven't worked. Maybe it's a relationship, a family member, a friend, even a romantic partner. There's stuck areas there and you're not moving forward. You need to realize, first of all, can I save this relationship? Maybe through some kind of counseling or therapy, or maybe I need to break these ties, even though it may be painful, but this person may be toxic for you and they may be damaging with their negative karma as well. So after careful consideration, you may need to decide to move on, or maybe you can salvage the relationship or whatever situation you're in. Maybe you have a bad habit or some addiction that you need to break. Number two, take responsibility for what you've done in the past. Maybe you have made mistakes. Maybe you've had hurt other people. You've done things that have hurt yourself. So take responsibility and forgive yourself for what happened in the past. Realize you can learn the lesson from that and move forward and not be stuck in regret or guilt, because that can really weaken you. In my new book that's coming out, Invincible You, I talk about the idea that regret can tie you to the past. It's like a rope that is around your neck that makes you feel weak. And because of that weakness, you actually may end up doing the same bad habit or addiction or bad behavior that created the regret in the first place, because you felt weak. So what you need to do is cut that rope off your neck and say, I'm going to be a different person. Next time, I will change. I will act in a more positive and rewarding way for myself and others. The other thing you want to do is think of karma as a plan, a business plan. Before you take an action, think about what is going to be the karma reaction from this. If I get back into this addiction or substance abuse I have, or if I eat that extra food and blow my diet, what's going to be the consequences? Maybe I'll gain more weight and I'll feel worse about myself. Maybe even my job will suffer. Maybe my relationships will suffer, my self-esteem. Or if I'm an angry person, if I explode with anger, I'm going to say something I'm going to regret, perhaps, that may hurt and damage a relationship. So always be thinking of further down the line, what's going to happen if I do this action, possibly in a negative sense? What's going to be the negative consequences, and then decide not to do it? Also, it's important to heal your karma. Maybe you have done some things you've regretted in the past, or things that have hurt yourself or others, whether it's, again, addictions or bad habits, procrastination, whatever, or you haven't gone for your dreams, you've settled for less. Relationships that don't fulfill you, career that doesn't fulfill you. You say, I'm going to stop this cycle. I'm going to do some positive things now. I'm going to go out there and act better toward others. I'm going to act better toward myself. Maybe self-care. Give yourself a massage or exercise more, or find a spiritual practice. Do something to love yourself if you haven't done that in the past. And you might even come from a family cycle of negativity, maybe even violence. Maybe your parents were cold to you or even abusive. So you might decide, I'm going to be the opposite. I'm going to be kind and compassionate to my children, to other people I meet, and I'm going to break that cycle of negativity and of even of violence, because I'm going to change the karma into a positive sense. Also, see your weaknesses as part of your karma that can be positive as well. For example, someone who's very sensitive, maybe they're hurt easily when they were a child, and they sometimes say, well, I'm too sensitive. I get hurt a lot. But they're going to realize that sensitivity can also be a positive trait, because they can be more loving to others, more compassionate, more empathetic, and they can feel deeper and even have more joy. So instead of saying that's a negative part of themselves, they can embrace that part and say, that's a part of my positive karma, which I thought was negative karma. Maybe I was born with this trait genetically, but I can use it for good, being a sensitive person, a loving and caring person. And finally, stop bad habits, whether it's gossiping, procrastinating, whatever it is that you do, biting your fingernails, eating too much of the wrong foods, and think of that as reducing the negative karma that's going to happen in the future. Things that you do today that can affect you tomorrow negatively. So you want to stop those behaviors that have held you back. So let's say we're doing a good job. We're decreasing our negative karma. We're not doing the things that put us in these situations that we don't like. Now we need to increase our positive karma, or our energy, positive energy. The first thing you want to do, and this is probably one of the most important, is to make kindness and compassion your daily habit. Every day instill in yourself, I want to be kind to others, compassion. I want to give. all that I have in a good way. And you might say, well, I'm too busy for that. I have a family, I have work, and I live in a big city. There's no time for that. In reality, it doesn't take a lot of time to be compassionate or kind. You can do what's called a 5-minute compassion exercise or kindness exercise. For example, you can open a door for someone, elderly person. You can smile at someone you don't know, compliment. Give up your seat or even your parking space, which for some people is very hard to do. But it's something that can be very, very useful for you to spread that positive energy. Maybe you have a favorite phrase or a poem that you can email to people that you know or even people that you don't know, something that will pick them up, a little inspirational thing. Maybe you can pick up a little bit of trash. All these things take a little bit of time, but they can make a big difference in accumulating that positive karma or positive energy in your life. There was a writer who was had writer's block. She couldn't write psychologically. She was stuck. So she ended up writing a positive review of a product that she liked online. And that little review, that nice gesture, actually changed her mindset. She started being able to write again. It kind of released her creative energies. She had done something positive for someone else. Find someone a job. Give away something valuable or even something in your closet you don't want. Teach someone. Listen to a hurting friend. Now, many times when we're listening to someone, we're thinking about what we're going to say in return. But to be fully and present and attentive to someone is an amazing gift that you can give someone. Someone who's hurting, going through a breakup or a job problem. Maybe they're fired from a job. Maybe they have financial problems or health problems. But just sitting there quietly listening to them, not even saying very much. Just being present is an amazing gift you can give them. And it can, again, increase your positive karma. You're giving something out to the universe that's very positive that can eventually come back to you in some ways. Maybe when you're hurting, that same friend can listen to you and also be attentive and compassionate in what you need. Another way to increase your positive karma is to increase your value, which you do in the work setting, whether you have your own business or work for someone else, is to always do more than you're paid for, exceed expectations. Ask yourself, how can I increase the value of what I'm providing to my customer, to my client, to the people I work with? And when you do that, chances are, at some point, you're going to receive more money or more rewards, whether it's internal rewards, feeling satisfied about your work, or external rewards, whether it's promotions, more profit, or more clients, because you're matching and you're creating a higher sense of value that will eventually come back to you. The other thing you want to do is you want to align your causes with the effects you want in life. What that means is that do the behaviors that will bring you the success you want. If you want to find a soulmate, get into some methods, whether it's dating applications or coaching or other things to help you find that soulmate. Or if you want to start a business, research that carefully. Find a mentor. If you want to improve your health, find someone that can help you, a coach or a trainer. And every day, fill your mind with success thoughts, whether you're listening to podcasts or watching YouTube, reading books, ebooks, being around people that are successful that can give you advice. So you want to have your mind filled with positivity so you can eventually receive the effects or the results from that, whether it's improved job performance or a career or business or making more money or just having a happier life, better relationships, better health. Whatever it is that you want in life, maybe you want to be a better gardener, a better parent, a better spouse, a better friend, whatever it is that you want to accomplish, think about what you need to do to get there. What is going to be the cause? You know, what are the actions I need to take? What's the mindset I need to have? Something else you can do is have a peace day, which really is a wonderful idea, is to, for one day, decide you're not going to be affected by negative influences. You're not going to get into arguments. Now, you might have a tendency to argue with your spouse, your family members, someone at work, even a friend. But for this day, you're not going to do that. Even if they antagonize you, even if they verbally attack you, you're going to be very calm and very relaxed and feel inside maybe you're feeling some anger, frustration, but you're not going to express it. You're going to just be aware of it. In fact, you might even say the anger is a color, perhaps even the color red, and you're going to let it pass by you, like flow off you. You're going to avoid any kind of negative news items, things that could affect you. And even if you look at something, you're going to brush it away for the moment and say, today's my peace day. Maybe tomorrow I'll be worried about it. Maybe tomorrow I'll think about it. But today I'm going to maintain peace and calmness. You'll be amazed at how much that can affect your life, just having a peace day. And pretty soon you might want to have another peace day and then even one more after that. And eventually, you're going to have a lot of peaceful, relaxed moments that can really change your life and your attitude. Be natural and spontaneous. This is something we forget about. We live in big cities and people are very nervous and agitated and rushing around. In big cities, there's a lot of traffic. But learn how to be natural. You know, go spend time with children or animals or go to nature. Do a hobby you enjoy. Maybe it's outdoor activities, camping, white river rafting, kayaking, gardening, walking in nature, listening to music. Maybe writing, doing some kind of physical exercise. Whatever it is that helps you feel connected to your body and mind and spirit, whatever it is that's natural and spontaneous can really help you accumulate that positive karma, the positive energy that can give you more motivation, more desire to succeed. And finally, and I think this is one of the most important pieces, is to be grateful to the universe for what you have. Many times we think about what we don't have. I don't have the right relationship, the right career, the right financial situation. I don't have the right friends, the right living situation. But instead, think about what you are grateful for to the universe, for being alive, for any gifts or talents you may have, for any people in your life that you do love and care about, and they care about you. It could be animals, children, for the opportunity to do something positive in the world, to create meaning. When you do that, things change totally. You start to feel more energized, more vitalized, and you start to create more of that positive karma, that positive energy. So really, if you think of karma, it's cause and effect. The causes you put in the world, the actions you take, the thoughts you put, are they positive or negative? And many times, the positive thoughts will bring more positivity to your life, more positive circumstances, more positive feelings. And the same thing happens with negative. So you want to override your life, overrule it with positive energy, with positive things. So my challenge to you this week is to go out and have a positive karma week. Find someone you can help, whether it's a homeless person, an acquaintance, buy someone a cup of coffee, listen to a friend who needs help, donate some of your items. You know, do something to help people in general or people that you know, or even people that you don't know. And as you do this, you start to feel inside a different feeling that you are contributing, you're helping, you're growing, and you're building this reservoir, this bank of positive energy that's going to come back to help you at some point. It may not be from the person you help. It may be from someone else. It may be from people that you never would have thought would have helped you, but it will eventually come if you practice this technique. So again, Love University students, it's been a pleasure to have you today. Anticipate you will apply this technique of positive karma in your life to improve your results and attract what you really desire, which in the end is really love. It's really creativity, it's meaning, it's contribution to society, and also being the best you can be. If you want to write to us and send us any success stories, or if you have any questions, you can write to us at lovetype4u@aol.com, LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com. You can visit us at loveuniversity.love and like us and talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. So again, Love University students, it's time to put away your laptops, your computers, your iPads, your iPhones, and we'll see you next time. Love University is now dismissed.